Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 26th Chapter, Text 35. This chapter is entitled, Hypercharacteristics of King Puranjana. And by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, my dear gentlemen, all these men and women with me are known as my friends, and the snake, who always remains awake, protects the city even during my sleeping hours. So much I know, I do not know anything beyond this. Please repeat after me. My dear gentlemen,
my dear gentlemen,
all these men and women,
all these men and women
with me are known as my friends,
and
the snake,
who always remains awake
protects the city
even during my sleeping hours.
So much I know.
I do not know anything beyond this.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Puranjan inquired from the woman about these 11 men and their wives and the snakes. The woman gave a brief description of them. She was obviously without full knowledge of her surrounding men and women and the snake. As stated before, the snake is the vital force of the living being. This vital force always remains awake even when the body and the senses become fatigued and do not work. Even in the state of unconsciousness when we sleep, the snake or the life force remains intact and awake. Consequently, we dream when we sleep. When the living entity gives up this material body, the vital force still remains intact and is carried to another material body. That is called transmigration or change of the body. And we have come to know this process as death. Actually, there is no death. The vital force always exists with the soul. And when the soul is awakened from so-called sleep, he can see his 11 friends or the active senses and the mind with their various desires. Wives. The vital life force remains. Even during our sleeping hours, we can understand by virtue of our breathing process that the snake lives by eating the air that passes within this body. Air is exhibited in the form of breathing, and as long as breath is there, one can understand that the sleeping man is alive. Even when the gross body is asleep, the vital force remains active and alive to protect the body. Thus, the snake is described as living and eating air to keep the body fit for life. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitasmai Shichaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Chutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanditam Tvam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shabodhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi
pranamami hari priye vancha kalpataru bhascha kripa sindhu bhaye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasadi gaura bhaktavrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Ete sakhaya sakho me nara na jascha manada suptayam mai jagarti nago ayam palayam. My dear gentlemen, all these men and women with me are known as my friends, and the snake who always remains awake protects this city even during my sleeping hours. So much I know. I do not know anything beyond this. So the discussion is going on between the Puranjan and the queen of the city of nine gates that Puranjan just happened to meet. So the story of Puranjan is actually an allegorical story. Puranjan is the spirit soul, and Puranjan was traveling all over the universe. Then Puranjan happened to come to the land of Bharatvarsha, the land on the southern side of the Himalayan mountain, and there he came across this very beautiful lady in the city of nine gates. And as soon as Puranjan saw her, he became attracted to her and he approached her. And this lady was surrounded by various associates. Her principal associates were 10 plus 1, 11 men and their wives, and the city of nine gates was guarded or protected by a snake. So she is explaining here who they actually are. Now, who is that? What is the city of nine gate? First of all, the city of nine gate is the city of nine gate is the human body. Why it is called the city of nine gates? Because there are nine holes in the body. There are nine holes in the body, namely two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, mouth, anus and genital. And these are the gates through which Puranjan, the spirit soul, used to go out of the city to enjoy. And this lady, the queen of the city, is intelligence. And these 11 associates of the queen are 10 senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses and 5 working senses, and one internal sense, that is mind. So these are the friends of the queen, or the friends of material intelligence. And the spirit soul, as soon as he got attracted to this material intelligence, the spirit soul became attracted to this material body or this material nature. The cause of living entities' bondage to this material world is his attraction towards the material nature. In Prema Vivarta, Jagadananda Pandit, one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, described Krishna bohirmukh hoya bhagavan chakari nikatastha maya tare japotiya thari. as soon as a living entity turns his face away from Krishna, Krishna bohirmukh. Bohirmukh means averse to, and unmukh means towards. Mukh means the face. So when our face is towards, pointing towards something, we are projected towards that.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Langanishar ki, Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mahakani ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaurani Kai ki.
So living entity can either be Krishna Unmukh or Krishna Bohirmukh. So as soon as a living entity looks away from Krishna, then what is away from Krishna? Away from Krishna is Krishna's external energy. Actually everything is Krishna. It is either Krishna's internal potency or Krishna's external potency. So when we are Krishna conscious, or when our face is turned towards Krishna, then we remain in Krishna's internal potency. But as soon as we turn away from Krishna, as soon as we look away from Krishna, then we look at Krishna's external energy. Now this external energy in Bhagavad Gita has been described as inferior. Krishna, describing this material nature, mentions Bhumi Rapo Anolo Bayu Khaṁ Mano Buddhi Devacha Ahankara Itiyam Me Bhinnam Prakriti Rashtadha. This separated energy of Krishna, it consists of eight elements. Those eight elements are earth, water, fire, air, ether, and mind, intelligence, and false ego. Even mind, intelligence, and false ego are material. They are subtle material elements. They are subtle material elements. And then this eight element, this material nature consisting of these eight elements is inferior in nature. Aparayam itastannam prakritim vidhi me param. Apara means inferior. And Krishna is saying that this material nature is apara, is my inferior energy. But prakritim vidhi me param. But beyond this inferior material nature, there is a superior nature. Prakriti means nature. Vidhi me param. Know it well, Arjuna, that beyond this inferior material nature, there is a superior nature of mine. And jiva bhutang mahabahu jajidam bhargati jajidam. And the jiva bhutang, the living entities, are coming from that superior energy of mine. So jivas are coming from Krishna's internal potency, Krishna's superior nature. But the living entity, the tatastha jiva, can either look towards Krishna or look away from Krishna. That is the freedom that Krishna has given to this marginal energy of his, which is known as jiva shakti. So this tatastha jiva can either look towards Krishna or look away from Krishna. So as soon as the living entity looks away from Krishna, Krishna bohirmukh hoiya bhogavanchakari. As soon as he looks away from Krishna, immediately he begins to desire to enjoy. Now how does it happen? As soon as the living entity looks towards the inferior material nature, then this material nature being inferior and he being superior, he develops a natural tendency to lord over. Because it's a natural tendency of the superior to dominate over or lord over the inferior. So since this material nature is inferior, as soon as a living entity looks towards the material nature, he develops a desire to lord over. Now a living entity in his constitutional position is a servant of Krishna. A living entity in his constitutional position is a servant. But he wants to become the Lord. Just the opposite to what he actually is. And that's what causes him the first covering of false ego. False ego means mistaken identity. His original identity is that he is a servant. But his mistaken identity is that he is the Lord and Master. He begins to identify himself as the Lord and Master, and that causes him the bondage of, or the first covering of false ego. Then he begins to plan how he is going to enjoy this material nature. He gets the second covering of intelligence. Then his consciousness runs towards the material nature incessantly through the mind. In this way, through the false ego, mind and intelligence, he gets the first three coverings of subtle elements. And that causes his subtle body. And then, according to his subtle body, the material nature provides him with a gross body. The gross body is awarded to the living entity by the material nature, consisting of or made of five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air and ether. So, and in this way the living entity gets entangled in the material nature. So, Jagadananda Pandit is explaining Nikatostha Maya Tare Japotiya Thare. As soon as a living entity looks away from Krishna, Maya, who is standing nearby, Nikatostha Japotiya Thare, just embraces him very tightly. This is how a living entity gets entangled in the material nature. Maya is very near. Maya is standing just next to Krishna. Maya is this material nature. Maya is Krishna's external energy. So as soon as the living entity turns his face and looks away from Krishna, as soon as the living entity turns his face from Krishna and looks away from Krishna, then Maya immediately catches him. And what is Maya? Maya, in the previous verse it has been explained that Maya is actually caused by ignorance of Vidya. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of Krishna. When a living entity is forgetful of Krishna, then he falls into Maya. And the bondage of Maya begins with this misidentification of oneself. Instead of realizing that he is a servant, he begins to identify himself as the master. So that is the false ego, wrong identity, mistaken identity. And from that small little mistake of looking away from Krishna, a living entity becomes eternally bound. Or, I won't say eternally, but becomes bound since time immemorial. And as a cause of his bondage, now it has been described here in this particular chapter. The spirit soul desires to enjoy, and he comes in contact with material intelligence, who appears to be very attractive. Oh, I'm going to enjoy the city of nine gates. I'm going to enjoy this entire universe. This entire universe is for my enjoyment. And that's what every single person is thinking. Not only the human beings, everyone. Even an ant, what to speak of an ant, even an amoeba is thinking that I am the Lord and Master of everything that I survey. So in this way, that is the conditioning, or that is the cause of a living entity's bondage in the material nature. It is not that only the human beings have the desire to enjoy, or it's only the rich people have the desire to enjoy. No, Even a beggar in the street has the desire to enjoy. Even a drunkard who is, even a bum on the street, who just doesn't have anything, and he's completely miserable, but still he desires to enjoy. He thinks that someday he will become the king of the universe. He desires, although he doesn't have the facility, but the desire is there in the heart. What to speak of a bum in the street? Even an ant in the street, even an amoeba has the desire to enjoy. After all, they all are spirit souls. And the spirit souls, due to his looking away from Krishna, is entangled in this material nature in such a miserable way. And unless and until a living entity becomes Krishna conscious, he can't become free from this miserable bondage. Living entity's cause of bondage was looking away from Krishna. The simple mistake of looking away from Krishna caused him this eternal material bondage. Now if he wants to go back, if he wants to become free from this bondage and go back to Krishna, then what he'll have to do? Simply look towards Krishna. And looking towards Krishna is the process of Krishna consciousness. Actually, we look towards means where our consciousness is projected. Our consciousness is minute. Living entity's consciousness is very minute. It can be projected only onto one point. It can be focused only onto one point. And that one point is either towards Krishna or away from Krishna. Either towards Krishna or to Maya. So if we look towards Krishna, then we remain in Krishna's internal potency, Krishna's spiritual nature. And the spiritual nature is Sat Chit Ananda. Krishna's spiritual nature is Sat, eternal. There nothing is perishable. In the spiritual sky, nothing is perishable. Nothing is perishable. In the spiritual sky, everything is conscious. And in the spiritual sky, everything is blissful. Whereas the material nature is diametrically opposed to that. In the material nature, everything is Asat, Achetan and Nirananda. Asat means everything here is temporary. Everything here is perishable. Everything in this material nature is Achetan, unconscious. Whatever consciousness is there in the material nature is because of the presence of the spirit soul. Wherever there is consciousness in the material nature is due to the presence of the spirit soul. If all the spirit souls are withdrawn from the material nature, then there won't be any consciousness left. Just like we see, the matter doesn't have consciousness. Take any matter. It's unconscious. Only the living entities' bodies, although made of matter, are conscious. Why? Because the spirit soul, the living entity, is present in that body. But as soon as the living entity leaves the body, what happens to the body? The body becomes dead. It is not that the living entity dies. It is the dead body that becomes dead due to the absence of the living entity, absence of the spirit soul. So when a living entity turns his vision away from Krishna,
withdraws his consciousness from Krishna and projects it to its material nature, he becomes entangled. And that's the reason why we all in this material nature have become bound. In this world of Asat, Achetan and Nirananda, in the world of temporary, unconscious and miserable material nature, we all are suffering. We are suffering because that is not what we are. We are actually eternal, we are conscious and we are joyful. But by coming in contact with the material nature, we lost our inherent qualities of being eternal, being fully conscious and being fully joyful. Instead, we have developed the material qualities. Because of our identification with this body, we are thinking that we are perishable. We die. Because of our entanglement in the material body, we become unconscious. And somehow, through our experiences, through the senses, we gather certain information, and that is the limit of our consciousness in the material nature. And we are miserable. Although we try, although everyone is trying to be happy, although everyone tries to be joyful, but in this material nature, no one is joyful, no one is happy. Prabhupada said only two types of people are happy in this material nature. One who is situated in perfect knowledge, that means one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is a pure devotee, and the other one who is in total ignorance. In material nature, ignorance is bliss. So that's where they have degraded to. They think to be ignorant, to remain in ignorance is bliss. Yes, in this world of misery, to be ignorant is actually bliss. Because to be ignorant means to be unaware of the miserable condition of this material. So relatively, yes, it is bliss of the fools. But actual joy is derived from Krishna consciousness. So when one becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, that means when one projects his consciousness towards Krishna, then he actually projects his consciousness towards Krishna's internal body, Yogamaya. And Yogamaya then will help the living entity go back to Krishna and become engaged in eternal service of Krishna. That is how there's a sum and substance of our philosophy. This material nature is miserable. The cause of this material bondage is due to our aversion towards Krishna. Now, if we become attracted towards Krishna, who is all attractive, actually to become attracted to Krishna is not at all difficult. It's only a matter of getting to know who Krishna is. And as soon as you get to know Krishna, the attraction will become natural, the attraction will become spontaneous. And that's why Krishna made this arrangement, that people get to know, the living entities in this material nature will get to know more and more about him through the scriptures, through his devotees, and he himself comes and reveals his identity as the all-attractive personality. And in this way, Krishna reclaims the living entities who voluntarily, deliberately have rejected him and decided to remain in this material nature. But when one becomes attracted towards Krishna, when one's consciousness naturally begins to flow towards Krishna, that state is called Krishna consciousness. And in that Krishna consciousness, one becomes situated in his inherent position or in his constitutional position as a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Master. And just by being engaged in his loving devotional service, he becomes situated in his spiritual identity. Apparently he may even dwell in this material nature, but actually he will be in the spiritual nature. The body is not really important. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained it very nicely. When he is describing the glory of the holy name, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, he compared the holy name to the bud of love of Krishna. Premero holika nam, adbhuto rasero dham. This holy name, nam, is premero holika. Prem means? I'm sure you know the meaning of the word prem. Prem means love. And kolika means, koli means a bud. So this holy name is the bud of Krishna prem. And when this bud of holy name opens up a little, begins to bloom, then this holy name actually reveals the form and quality of Krishna. Ishad Vikashi Puna Dakhay Nijo Rupo Guna. Opening up a little, this holy name, the bud of Krishna consciousness, reveals the identity of Krishna, shows us Krishna's form, guna, Krishna's quality. And as a result of that, my heart is stolen to the lotus feet of Krishna. Chitta hori loy Krishna vash. It steals my heart or steals my consciousness to and takes it to Krishna. And then he is describing purna vikoshita hoya, when this bud of Krishna consciousness becomes fully bloomed, braji more jai loya. Becoming fully bloomed, it takes me to Vrindavan. So the spiritual actually, when one, when this naam becomes fully bloomed, when the holy name, that means when we begin to chant the pure name of the Lord, this pure chanting of the holy name of the Lord will take us to Vrindavan. Braja more jai loya, dakhay more sarupo vilas, and shows me Krishna.
Sarupa Vilas, Krishna's pastime.
And then he's saying, the Edehir Kodesh Sarvanash, and causes this destruction of this whole body. Sarvanash, Sarva means complete, and Nash means destruction. So this body is completely destroyed. That's not that the body is destroyed, but one's attachment to this body is completely destroyed. Therefore, although at that stage, one can stay in his body, in apparently material body, but he is not in his material body. He is in spiritual sky with Krishna. In this respect, Prabhupada gives the example of fire and iron rod. Iron rod, when in contact with fire, gradually becomes red hot. And then it is not iron rod anymore. That's what Prabhupada mentioned. Then it's not iron rod anymore, it's fire. Prabhupada is saying, then it's fire. Then you don't call it iron rod. Someone said, but still it is iron. Then Prabhupada said, go and touch it. Let's see whether it's iron or fire. Apparently it's iron, but it has become transformed into fire. So similarly, the body, in the pure state of consciousness, the body apparently may look like material, but it is spiritualized. And in this respect also, it has been explained that at that time, although one dwells in his body, he is with Krishna. He attained his spiritual perfection. But then when he leaves the body, then in the spirit, then the spirit soul goes back to the spiritual sky. So there are two types of siddhis. One is Sarup Siddhi. When one is still in his body but has attained the spiritual perfection, that is called Sarup Siddhi. But when one leaves his body and goes back to the spiritual sky, then it's called Vastu Siddhi. But there is no difference. Like, although he is apparently in this material body, but he is with Krishna. And it's only a matter of time when he will become freed from this body, and then he will cut off all his link with the material nature, and he'll go back to the spiritual sky. So this is what this Krishna consciousness movement, this is the facility that Krishna consciousness movement is offering everyone in this world. Anybody can take advantage of this philosophy, not only the philosophy, it's actually the scientific process of spiritual perfection, irrespective of caste and creed, irrespective of one's material situation, anybody and everybody can take advantage of it. And that is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it available for anyone and everyone. In other ages, there was a consideration of qualification. Who would be allowed to receive it and who will not be allowed to receive it. But in this age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it open to all. Especially now, due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy, this Krishna consciousness movement has spread all over the world. Everyone is literally getting a chance to become a pure devotee. And Prabhupada emphatically said that it's not actually difficult to become a pure devotee. It's not difficult to develop a relationship with Krishna. In the purport of Prahlada Maharaj's advice to his friends, Prabhupada is mentioning in the 8th canto and 7th canto, he's saying that one may question that it must be very difficult to develop our relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada says, no. Because Krishna himself is eagerly waiting for us to go back to him. Krishna didn't make himself difficult for us. Krishna didn't make himself unavailable to us. He made himself very much available, so much so that wherever we are going, Krishna is going with us. Krishna is there in the hearts of every living entity, in the heart of every living entity. So this is how Krishna made himself accessible to all. So why should it be difficult to develop our relationship with Krishna? If Krishna wanted to make it difficult, then why should he come with us? Why should he go with us wherever we are going? And especially now that the process has become so easily available. When the process was not available, then it's difficult. But once the process is available, then it's easy. Just like it may be very difficult to go on top of, say, the Empire State Building in New York, or World Trade Center, 140 stories. It must be extremely difficult to climb on top of the building.
But
once you get into the lift takes you up there, and it becomes very, very easy. So Srila Prabhupada has actually created a lift to take everyone back to the spiritual sky. And that lift is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And all one has to do is just step into the lift. Now apparently it may seem that, well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just standing here. But the lift will take us. One may think, well, I'm not climbing anything. There's no stairs. I'm not making any effort to go up. We don't actually have to make any effort. The only effort you have to make is remain in ISKCON. And yes, to remain in ISKCON, there is certain condition that Prabhupada has made. And that condition is that we have to chant minimum 16 rounds every day and follow the four religious principles. These are the only two criteria that Prabhupada has given us. If we just chant 16 rounds every day and follow the four regulative principles, we will remain safe in our spiritual life or within the lift of ISKCON. And in due course of time, we will go back. In this respect, Prabhupada gives another very nice example. Prabhupada gives the example of a green mango and ripe mango. The mango may be green, but if the mango remains in the tree, will it become ripe in due course of time? Naturally, it will become ripe. So similarly, if we just remain in ISKCON, in the tree of ISKCON, today we may be green mangoes, but in due course of time, we'll become ripe. That is, every devotee in ISKCON, if he remains in the society of ISKCON, chanting 16 rounds and following four regulative principles, in due course of time, he will become a pure devotee. So this is the wonderful gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotee, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Gurudev Purnachandra Prabhu. Japati means embrace tightly.
Is there some subtle, maybe psychological attachment to the material realm or any kind of subtle obstacle in Sutsu? I know that it seems that there might be some more difference.
Well, if it is Siddhi, at that stage, although one is in contact, in sort of Siddhi, he is still in material nature. And he is bestowing his mercy to the living entities around him. But he himself is actually with Krishna. The pure state of one consciousness, or pure devotee, is always with Krishna. Although he is in the material nature, he is in the material nature to bestow his mercy upon the living entity, not to enjoy the material nature.
And like we can also consider from the different levels of advancement, from the bhava platform one can fall down. Right. But in prema platform there is no question of falling down. And sarup siddhi is actually not prema. Not bhava. But only difference is that he is still in the material nature. He is still present in the material nature. Like, I will give an example. So when Prabhupada was with us, Prabhupada was in his sarup siddha state. He was still in the material nature through his apparently material body. But when Prabhupada, then Prabhupada entered into Nitya Leela. That means Prabhupada went back to Krishna. And that is the Vastu Siddhi. And of course, to begin with, you know, for Prabhupada, there is no question of, you know, Siddhi, you know. Like, Prabhupada is Nitya Siddha. But just to give an example, you know, I recite an example in this case. Yes. Yeah, it's possible, but we don't want to. Because even better stage is to honor Krishna Prasad. If we, like, in the material platform, one can stop eating altogether. What to speak of stop eating? One can even stop breathing. Right? So that stage of eating, stopping to eat and breathe, that is kind of, you know, coming to the region where the material nature meets the spiritual nature. All your material needs have been given up. But then when you enter into the spiritual nature, then you start to honor Krishna Prasad. So this honoring Krishna Prasad is beyond the stage of total stopping of eating and breathing. So since we want to, since we are aspiring a spiritual situation, devotees are not so interested about stopping to eat, etc. Their business is to just honor Krishna Prasad. But of course it has to be done with the right consciousness. We shouldn't, there is a difference between prasad and bhoga. The bhoga is enjoyment. When one wants to enjoy it, then it is bhoga. Right? Like bhog tag. But Krishna prasad is Krishna's mercy. So we have to accept Krishna prasad with the right frame of mind or with right consciousness that it is for, it is us, for us to receive as Krishna's mercy. Yeah. That was, you know, like, just for example, we also, on that Ekadasi, we fast. But that doesn't mean that fasting is a goal. The goal is actually to develop a Krishna consciousness. So when Parikshit Maharaj realized that he has only 7 days left, he decided that he is going to use that time just absorbing himself in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he stopped all other activities. And just became fixed up. Just became fixed up in listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? Well, we have to understand that, you know, everything is possible. The Maya can get anyone, or anyone can become a victim of Maya. Jivas can become a victim of Maya, because jivas are achyuta, fallible. But Krishna is achyuta. So Krishna is not, and so we cannot just say that, anyway, I mean, it seems that I'm just heading into, I'm sort of, I mean, I don't want to get into, to begin with, I don't want to get into that controversy. Because the GBC resolution is So don't waste your time on this controversy. Anyway, let us consider, you know, that marginal jiva, because he's marginal, you know, he can be either in Krishna's internal potency or in Krishna's external potency. So that's why he's marginal. So yes, obviously jivas are not originated in material nature. The jivas came from the spiritual sky. Right? So, you know, so that when, since the jiva fell into the material nature, they must have fallen from the spiritual sky. It's not that jiva just came from nowhere and then, you know, they ended up, you know, in the material nature. You see, a devotee has a full conviction that Krishna will protect him. So even there may be some apparent danger, some apparent difficulty, but he knows that ultimately Krishna will protect him. It is not that when one becomes a devotee, he gets a very easy life. Nothing unpleasant happens to him. No, even in the life of a devotee, many unpleasant things happen. Like, for example, Prahlad Maharaj, a 5-year-old boy, he was persecuted by his own father in so many terrible ways. The father actually wanted to kill him. So apparently Prahlad Maharaj was going through a lot of difficulty. But Prahlad Maharaj never said, "Why me? I'm a devotee. Why these terrible things are happening to me?" But Prahlad Maharaj, he simply depended upon Krishna. And Krishna protected him. See, the ultimate protection, ultimate save is what actually matters is the ultimately what happens. Right? So, yes, the ultimate protection is the protection of the soul, not the protection of the body. Right? Like, what is the body? The body is just like a dress. Right? So if somebody gives you a guarantee, "I will protect you," that doesn't mean that your dress will never get dirty or your dress will never get open. Right? He actually protects you. Krishna protects the soul. The body may come and body may go, but the soul will be protected. Yes, yes. If a devotee falls down from Krishna consciousness, then we have to understand that he didn't surrender enough. He didn't surrender properly. Because a surrendered devotee will never fall down. And also another thing is, you see, a devotee never thinks that he is capable of protecting himself. He simply depends upon Krishna. And a surrendered devotee always prays to Krishna, "Please save me, please. Please don't let me fall down to Maya." In the Krishna book, Prabhupada is explaining that point. You read Krishna book?
Yes.
So, Devaki's first 6 sons were demons. So, Prabhupada is actually raising the question in the purport that why 6 demons were born in the womb of Devaki? Right, where Krishna was about to come. Why the demons had to come? Prabhupada is explaining that Devaki actually is devotion personified. The personification of devotion is Devaki.
That what's going to happen to me? I may fall down at any moment. Maya is just standing next to me. And she's so powerful that in one sweep, she can take me away. Therefore the devotee is known, "Krishna, you can only protect." And due to that fear of fear of Maya, fear of material nature, this last greed anger, this demon get killed. So a fall down means to fall into all these, actually, last greed anger. But a devotee never falls down. A properly surrendered devotee, a surrendered soul never falls down. Because Krishna gives him protection. And on top of that even, Krishna's devotees give him protection. You see, devotee always wants to remain in the association of devotees. And the other devotees will give him protection. Isn't it? Like when Maya comes and attacks somebody, what if he is in the association of devotees, what do the other devotees do? Other devotees literally guard him, protect him. Prabhu, don't go, this is Maya. Don't fall down. And in the association of devotees, one remains safe. Therefore, you should always remain in the association of devotees. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Krishna consciousness movement, Sankirtan Yati, so that we can remain in the association of devotees. And then we'll be safe. Because if we are alone, no chance. In this age of Kali, we are so weak that we don't stand any chance to withstand the onslaughts of Maya. But if we remain in the association of devotees, it becomes easy. Therefore, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ISKCON. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Maharaj, why is a snake used to represent the life force of the Chaitanya?
Why the snake?
Because
you see, the characteristics of life energy is very much like a snake. In the Vedas, it has been compared to a snake. This prana, the prana energy is coiled up. This life energy, just as a snake is coiled up, this energy, according to yoga, is coiled up in the base of our vertebral column, known as Muladhara. And then this energy, through some practice of Krishna consciousness, this energy actually rises. Just as when the snake rises, its head goes up. So in this way, the energy also rises, which is coiled up at the base of our vertebral column. And then it rises, and then ultimately, when it comes up to the brain center, which is known as Sahasrara, then one becomes self-realized. Although yoga says that it is possible by Ashtanga yoga system, but it's not possible in this age. In other ages, in Satya yoga, it was possible by Ashtanga yoga system. But this process is possible only through Bhakti yoga system in this age. And with devotees it will happen. This energy will rise. This energy and the devotees will, as he advances, this energy, the spiritual energy, actually advancement means rising of the spiritual energy. It will happen to the by practicing Krishna consciousness, by chanting the holy name congregationally, by rendering devotional service to Krishna, this will happen to the devotees.
Maharaj, what about are there any intermediate symptoms one can see in oneself?
Yeah, one can see how much love he has developed for Krishna and his holy name. That will be the symptom. Because the yogis actually judge it by the siddhi, the mystic power that they attain. So the devotees are not interested in mystic power. For a devotee, the mystic power is a hindrance, obstacle. So he doesn't want to bother about the obstacles. He doesn't want to create any obstacles for his spiritual advancement. Therefore, a devotee is not interested in mystic power. Therefore, devotee, instead of trying to become big, he wants to become small. The safest position is to try to be small. If we want to become big, then the trouble will start. Trying to become big means inflating our false ego. But trying to become small means to get rid of our faults. So in spiritual life, it's very important that we get rid of our false ego. Because false ego is the most difficult obstacle. Because that's the last obstacle that we have to cross.
Okay, I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.